I'd like to call the Health and Social Services Committee to order at 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019. We're meeting today in room 205 of the Capitol Building. Everyone, please remember to silence your cell phones as a courtesy and try not to do any flash photography. We know that you guys just want to make sure we're looking good and nice up here, but just a little distracting for folks. Today, committee members present are Senator Coghill, Senator Stevens, Senator Bishop, Senator Begich, and myself, Senator Wilson. Just want to say welcome back for returning folks, and welcome to our new folks that are here joining us today. I would also like to introduce returning to our committee aide, Ms. Jody Simpson. Our Senate records recorder is Jeannie Foy, who is also returning this year. And we also have Madison and Eric, who are our teleconference moderators today. Our first order of business this afternoon is to elect a vice chair. Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senator Coghill be elected as vice chair.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Coghill will serve as our vice chair. Thank you. At this time, we'll return to our agenda item today is to hear from our commissioner designee of the Health and Social Services Department, Adam Crum. Mr. Crum, feel free to come to the table, podium, and get set up. We'll invite Mr. Crum to speak on his experience, qualification, and answer questions from committee. Mr. Crum, feel free to call on any lifelines if we ask questions from the department that you may not be aware to know. Feel free to call on someone to answer those questions today. We'll later take questions after you give us your overview and then open it up to public testimony and then return back to questions is how this process will work today. With that, we'll let you go ahead and start and go over your sort of qualifications and of why we should nominate you as Commissioner of Health and Social Services.
Thank you, Chairman Wilson. Thank you, Vice Chair Coghill. Thank you, Senator Begich, Senator Stevens. Thank you, Senator Bishop. It truly is an honor to be here today, and I appreciate the opportunity. I would like to tell you a little bit about myself, my background, education, my work history, introduce you to my team, my vision for the department, and then be happy to take your questions. I was born and raised in Alaska, one of five siblings. I grew up in Anchor Point on the Kenai Peninsula, and for a couple of years, we had no running water, and we had to collect our drinking water from a spring. Our family joke was that we had an upscale Anchor Point house because we had an indoor porta potty. That's a luxury. Mine was a youth spent hunting and fishing along the banks of the Anchor River, going for halibut and clams in Cashmack Bay. I graduated from Homer High School as a valedictorian, and being no stranger to a challenge, I wanted to see if a small-town kid from Alaska could thrive in the Big Ten. So I attended Northwestern University, and I walked onto the football team. Within a year, I had a full-ride scholarship and ended up starting 2 years. I finished up by winning a Leadership and Spirit Award as voted on by my teammates and my coaches. I completed my time at Northwestern by earning a bachelor's degree in psychology with a focus in pre-med. And I tell you about these achievements not to be boastful, but because I want you to know that assuming leadership, pursuing excellence, and taking on challenges is central to who I am. After college, I returned home to Alaska as fast as possible. Started working as a safety professional and a trainer all over the state. This brought me all over Alaska, so I've been to most of the oil sites on the North Slope. I've been all across the Arctic, up and down the coast of western Alaska. I spent weeks at a time in villages like Aktovik, Barrow, and Point Hope. I've even got pictures taken at whale kills that I've got to be a part of, so I got to see village life firsthand. Spent a couple years doing this, and then I wanted to further my career, so I pursued an advanced degree. I was blessed and honored to earn a Master's Science Public Health from Johns Hopkins University's Bloomberg School of Public Health. It's widely regarded as the number one public health school in the world. The motto is protecting health, saving lives, millions at a time. To work with such dedicated professionals tackling complex health issues the world over is an experience I will forever cherish, and it was truly humbling to work with them to be a part of that. Some of the subjects studied were public health toxicology, environmental and occupational health law, risk communication and public policy, and epidemiology. I used this knowledge to write white papers on naturally occurring asbestos in western Alaska, as well as mercury content and presence in seafood caught in the North Pacific. Having this diverse educational and professional background allowed me to work as a consultant and project lead for large oil and gas companies, pipeline companies, and transportation companies. Some of the work performed would be environmental health analysis on current and existing projects, maybe even future projects, long-term strategy, and organizational development. While working with these great companies, I was able to experience firsthand what good looks like from an organizational standpoint, a cultural standpoint, and a focus standpoint. And I've been able to internalize that and use that in my work for other clients and the community organizations that I'm involved in. Out of this strategy work was the need to directly influence organizational culture, so I developed a repertoire of leadership courses that I could facilitate. You guys familiar with Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Successful People? That's an example of a program I'm certified to facilitate. From a civic perspective, my parents always encouraged myself and my siblings to look for community service projects so we could give back. For a number of years, I've been an active supporter of a group called My House. They take homeless youth in the Matsu Valley, provide work opportunities, education, and shelter. Another group is called Joy International. They raise funds and they bring awareness to stop sex trafficking. I've also been very honored to sit on the advisory board for the Salvation Army for the Matsu. Things that we talk about are issues like hungry families, drug treatment, rehabilitation, and transitional housing. And working with these groups and studying these issues, I was looking for what other available resources there are, and I came upon the State Ombudsman's Report of May 2018. It was an investigation of the Division of Public Assistance. Essentially, it detailed that since 2016, there have been hundreds of complaints from individuals about lack of communication, backlog of applications, and delayed payments. I found the report to be heartbreaking. We have people reaching out in their moment of need, and they weren't being responded to. And that hurts. But on the other side, we have employees that are trying to do the best they can, but they aren't provided the necessary tools and resources to provide the best customer service possible. It occurred to me that what was really lacking was leadership and support. So I started to consider what I could bring to the role. I bring organizational and strategic expertise and a history of developing high-performing teams and a winning culture. I also bring compassion. I have worked with a lot of the constituent groups that the department services. I bring a commitment to recognize and support the employees within the department so they can provide the best possible service. I believe I've been successful in starting down this path. I've been in the role for about 7 weeks, and I've assembled an excellent team. Behind me, I've got Deputy Commissioner Albert Wall. He's a military veteran, still active in the National Guard. He's got 20 years of experience as a behavioral health clinician. He previously worked with the department not only as a budget director, but as the director of behavioral health. Most recently, he spent the past couple years as CEO of the Peninsula Community Health Services. He now oversees what we call family, community, and integrated services. Deputy Commissioner Wall brings a diverse yet relevant background of experience to the role, but he also brings a high level of energy. He worked there, so he understands the longstanding issues, and he is motivated to correct them for the benefit of all Alaskans. The Deputy Commissioner of Medicaid and Healthcare Policy is Donna Stewart. She's uniquely suited to this role because she spent the previous few years as the Executive Director for the Office of Rate Review, so she sees all of the Medicaid numbers that come across. Before that, she worked as a research analyst for the Washington State Legislature, and even better, she worked at CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, as Associate Regional Administrator for the Medicare side. She has a vast experience working with and for our federal partners, and she understands the actual numbers as they stand in Alaska. So having her on board is an invaluable resource to me. I'm also happy to introduce, or reintroduce, I think to all of you, Santa Eford. So Santa comes back to the department as the assistant commissioner. She was the deputy commissioner over education the past couple years, but she previously held this role as assistant commissioner for 4 years. So she's got a knowledge and a working history of the department, the budget, and our programs, and I'm very, very grateful to have her back in this role. Another familiar face is Tony Newman. He's our legislative liaison. I'm honored that Tony wanted to stay and work with me. He's been a great resource for me, and as you know, he's incredibly responsive to all legislative requests, and he's a great representative for the department. So please reach out to him with any constituent needs you may have or any questions. Another key person on my team is Heather Carpenter. She's previously Chief of Staff for Senator Kelly, but she's now my healthcare policy advisor. I'm smiling because Heather's not here today. Just 2 days ago, Heather was blessed to give the birth to her first child, so we're very, very, very grateful for her and her husband. It's a wonderful thing. I'd be remiss if another key team member, not a staff, but my wife, Colleen. This is a big role. It takes a lot of effort, and I just want to thank my wife for the ability to do this so we can work towards this issue. Short time I've been in this role, I've made a focus of reaching out to, visiting as many employees as possible. My first communication as commissioner was to thank everyone for their hard work and for their service. To always remember the good that they do. This department is large and has many divisions. It's a safe bet that on any week, one of those divisions may make the news. I wanted to make sure all employees know that that as their commissioner, I understand and appreciate the jobs they do, and I'm proud to work with them in these difficult times because of the critical nature of our work. I have three top priorities for the department. Number one is addressing the overall budget issue. We have one of the largest budgets in government. We need to do what we can to reduce duplicative efforts, gain efficiencies, and leverage community partners. Second priority is to work on the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, or API. It has got a long-standing number of issues. As the state residential psychiatric treatment hospital, API plays a critical role in our continuum of care for behavioral health. So for far too long, API has not received its due attention. This administration is committed to putting API in the correct course, to provide better patient outcomes, and to ensure a safe environment for patients as well as for staff. Third priority is to reduce the aforementioned backlog of applications at DPA so these people can be responded to and heard. We've inserted new leadership there, and she's currently working on new processes and what support levels we can bring to really address this issue directly and to correct this. Another key item is we're working on to address IT or technological solutions so they can remove a burden from these frontline workers but allow them to do their jobs better and faster. We're constantly looking at ways to gain efficiencies while keeping an eye on superior customer service. I am committed to the department, to the people we serve, and the people I work with. Our mission is to promote and protect the health and well-being of all Alaskans. And that's what I'm committed to do. I am humbled that Governor Dunleavy has asked me to perform this role, and I am honored to be before the committee today. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner Designee Crum. Questions from the committee members. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, thank you, Mr. Crum. I appreciate your presentation. The governor talked about the importance of cracking down on crime and making sure that we were sending people that deserve it to prison. But he also mentioned in his speech last night about the opioid crisis, and I assume that all falls under your bailiwick. What do we do about that? How do we help folks out?
Through the chair. Thank you, Senator, for that question. Just yesterday, actually, the White House decided to further continue the federal, national, and public health emergency of the opioid crisis. And so we're going to work with our federal delegation to see what that means as far as resources and tools that we can use going forward. Currently, we have our what's called OSMAP, our Office of Substance Misuse and Prevention, and that's Andy Jones as our director. And so he's continuing in that role, which we are very lucky to have him because he's energetic, and he works cross departments with public safety, Department of Law, and corrections to see what tools we can do to work with all individuals. And he also reaches out to the public, helping set up, if people need it, help for public task force and local region, because we want everyone to be aware of this issue. This is what the White House refers to as the crisis next door. This is somebody that could be a neighbor that perhaps had some subscription or pain prescription issue, but this is something that we want to address and bring a high level of awareness to and support.
Thank you, Mr. Crum.
Mr. Crum, I have a question. Staffing at DPA. Last year, the legislature approved additional staffing positions to handle some of the backlog and some of the Medicaid. Do you have an understanding of how that backlog is currently at, where it may be going, and the current plan? I believe we heard a position in finance saying that all of the they don't plan to fill any more of the unfilled positions, and that staffing levels across all state government is fine. I just want to make sure that you feel that you still have the staffing adequate needs to fulfill that mission of getting that backlog of those unprocessed applications completed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As it stands right now, I've not had that conversation with budget. The open positions at DPA we're still currently recruiting for. I know that we have been successful in recruiting a great percentage of that in the MATSU area. We have issues recruiting around the state for these eligibility technicians, but it's an ongoing issue. And with our new director in place, that's part of her priority is to understand what we can do to reduce that burden. We want everybody to jump in, get us trained as quick as possible, and actually release this burden on Alaskans.
Thank you. Senator Cockhill.
Thank you. Mr. Crum, thank you for taking the job. This falls into the center of many of the issues that we're going to have to figure out in Alaska. One of them is going to be Medicaid. Last year, as we sat in our budget talks, we got delivered a budgetary surprise of, well, it ended up being $45 million, but we thought at the beginning it was going to be $90 million. So that's just unsustainable, and we're going to go down the road of trying to take care of the neediest of folks, but we're not going to be able to afford to do it all. And so Medicaid is going to become one of the key elements that you're going to have to deal with, because it just happens to be one of the big budgetary drivers in our world. One of the things that the previous administration had done had put the Medicaid expansion in. Many of us bristled at that, challenged it, but it got put in. And I don't know how we'll ever pull that back. So, but in your world, you're going to see this big ball rolling towards you, and I appreciate the fact that you got some pretty significant horsepower to help you with it. Give us an idea of what you found in the last few weeks that you think that you can help us make this a little more sustainable.
Through the chair. Thank you, Senator. That's the key question. Medicaid's, I believe, 70% of our overall budget. It is the driver. As we evaluate all these programs and options, we do have a team in place. We're going to work with our federal partners to see what we can do as far as overall plan, whether that be waivers or adjustments that way. We're going to bring stakeholder groups to the table with providers and ask them, how can we actually work on this issue? As far as addressing the surplus issue or the supplemental, what we'd like to do is we're trying to get our hands around this so we can do accurate projections. That's part of what our goal is to run it as clean a business model as possible so you guys don't get hit with the bill towards the end of session as well for the previous year. We want to give those numbers as accurate as possible, and that's one of the things we're working on. But I would say that I appreciate the opportunity to work with the legislature on these policy issues as well. These are affecting, and they touch all of Alaskans. And this is something that I believe we're going to have to do, and the time has come for us to roll our sleeves up and address it, and I welcome this opportunity, sir.
Thank you. And I know that maybe there will be some proposals out of your world, and I will ponder what we can do here. One of the questions that arises in my mind as we've gone through it, and Mr. Newman has heard me articulate this before, and so I'm just going to say it out loud now. In many ways, what we do is we trap people into our Medicaid world because they can't afford to get a lookalike in the open market. So if they get a raise, what we do is we say, if you get a raise, you get to pick up a $3,000 bill somehow. Even if your raise is only a $20 a month raise, you end up with a $3,000 extra bill. So we've got to figure out a way, and maybe CMS can help us with this. We've got to figure out a way to say maybe the eligibility be a little lower here, but we have to extend it out over here so that you can work your way out, because what we've done is we've literally trapped people into a world they can't get out of, they can't afford to get out of, and we can't afford to pay them. So there are maybe solutions like that CMS could help us with, I know, but there are probably rules that we're going to have to look at in our own law. I'm only throwing it out as a suggestion. The only example that I can think of right off the top of my head is somebody who had Denali Kid Care, had a young person in their life that had, I think it was Fragile X, I may be wrong on that, but anyway, it was a ongoing deal, and he was in the Air Guard, got a promotion. To go from one stripe to the next stripe, it would have kicked him out. He would have had to pick up, I think, about $3,500 a month, and he just couldn't do it. He had to turn a promotion down or quit his job. So it put him in a real dilemma, and in many ways, we could have helped him get out of there, but it was a clear example to me of how we literally trap people into a system that is meant to give them a hand out, a hand up, instead of just keeping them trapped in that system. So I hope that as you look over your world, that maybe you'll find a pathway, maybe suggest to us places where we can work. Because we can look at the statute, but what we don't always understand is the CMS rules. And what we don't always understand is what your health care plan may or may not be able to do under some of your waiver systems. Those are three areas that that are very foggy to us. And so as you bring those issues forward, maybe there's places where we could hit a good balance. And I'm just bringing it up for something for you to think about.
Yes, sir. Through the chair, can I remark to the sir? Yes. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you bringing that up. That is actually an issue that we've addressed with my team as well. This is something that we want to look at because I personally believe we need to get somebody. This is something we've addressed with the governor as well, a stepwise function so people can actually move themselves, take help where they need it, but also progress their lives and improve their lot in life. And this is something that we are going to look at. As we kind of find models that work, we'll bring them forth perhaps for statutory change, but also we're going to work what we can on the federal side to see what kind of rules we can do to adjust this. Because I agree, sir, I think this is something that really does. We want to give people the opportunity to improve themselves without handicapping them as well.
One last
follow-up, Senator.
I mean, there's a lot of questions I want to ask you, but I'm only bringing this up because if we could find a way to work that, then I think we'll be able to hit a stride. You're the expert. We're looking at everything from land policy to oil taxes, and we literally can spend the first 90 days just trying to understand what that one sentence was in what you just told us. So. You are the expert. I'm enlisting you. It just seems to me that you can help us see a pathway through.
Thank you, sir.
Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thanks again for stepping up to do this job. And, you know, we're all going to be – we have a short period of time to try to figure out everything that you know, what your intent is in the job, how you've been directed in that process. And I do have a few questions here, so I hope that the chairman will indulge them. So, based on your background, you could just have easily have been nominated for the commissioner of DEC with your background in environmental health and the experience that you have. And so I thank you for putting that on the record and letting us know that background. And when you talk about recognizing and supporting your employees, let me just start there. Based on us sort of just now beginning to digest the governor's state of the state last night, the idea that we are going to be dealing, based on his comments today, with apparently a $3.2 billion budget, you having one of the largest budgets in the state, how do these two things mesh? We could take everybody out of your department and not meet that deficit. Recognition and support to employees on one hand, substantial budget cuts that are coming our way. Today in front of the Finance Committee, Donna Ardoin, the OMB director, identified that each department had to prioritize those areas that would be supported and what appeared to me to be those areas that could be cut loose. What was at the bottom of that list in your department, and what are those areas that you have identified as a department that are going to potentially go away in this administration?
Through the chair, I appreciate it.
I know that's a big question.
I appreciate the question, Senator. As we're working through this budget process, it is a very large, complex thing. One of the things that we have noticed, though, is throughout what we have as a department, we have so much dollars that get thrown around and spent that just by taking care of how those dollars are spent, we can actually save quite a bit of money. So we can gain efficiencies that way to make sure our processes are clean, that we're not doing overpayments, that we're taking care of issues like that. So those are the things that we're going to look at first to make sure that we can really trim and make sure our processes are nailed down. This is something that is very important to us. We're going to make sure that we can take care of that, and we're going to continue to do so, sir.
Mr. Chairman, you mentioned in our meeting, and Tony was there and Heather was there, that a couple of times you mentioned all options were on the table. In terms of this kind of thing, I suggested some things that I'd been hearing, maybe that the department was looking at privatization of API, for example. And what I guess I want to know is, what are some of those options that are on the table, A? And then B, are you looking at that private approach to the psychiatric institute?
Through the chair. Thank you, sir. I know that phrase. You did call me out for saying all options are on the table twice during our meeting. They truly are. As we're approaching this, we're doing a cost-benefit analysis. Again, it's just been 7 weeks on the job. But as we're approaching this, we are looking at what can we do. And primary as we do this is if we are going to do a change like that, if it is privatization, are we still providing the required care and making sure it's at a level that's acceptable to all Alaskans? And so those are all these things that we are weighing as we move through this process. You know, the budget is going to be presented, and we're going to have that, and we are going to work on that, and we're going to be a mission-driven organization. Each division and every subgroup has a mission about what they're supposed to accomplish, and we're going to work on that to make sure we cover those, sir.
Again, follow up,
Senator Beck.
You're describing mission, and I do want to just continue with the, you know, to try to keep it in line with where you're going. When we talked in the office, I asked you a question about what is, in your perception, what is the mission of the department? I helped draft the mission of one of your divisions, in fact, you know, back in the day. But what is the mission of your department in your mind, and what do you believe that obligation is constitutionally for you to uphold that mission?
Mr. Chair. Thank you, sir. Our goal is to promote and protect the health and well-being of Alaskans. But as we do this, we need to identify the neediest, those who need the issues the most, and we're going to work with those groups. One of those, while there will be cuts and we will have to gain efficiencies, we are committed to working with all stakeholder groups to make sure that the rug's not pulled out from under them, that we work together on how we can do this, what other resources are available. And that's something that we're going to work on, sir.
And I have one final question.
I'm going to interject here for a quick moment and make this request. Senator Begich did allude to sort of our presentation today in Senate Finance from the OMB director and sort of the priority list of each department. And I'm going to request when that budget does come out on the 13th, maybe that's something that the department can give to us committee members as we can look through future legislation and see if that pending legislation is on that high priority list, low priority list. So that'd be a wonderful tool if we can get that information as well to the committee. And I'm going to go to Senator Bishop. Sorry. And then back to Senator Begich.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Daisy D. Crum, I really appreciate I believe it was almost an hour that we spent together. And I appreciate your enthusiasm for the job. Did you play offense or defense?
Through the chair. Sorry, but make sure those end. In high school, I was a linebacker, and in college, I was an offensive lineman, so I've been both sides, sir.
Okay, so that's good. Cool. We're always playing defense in the healthcare world. When are we going to get on offense? And what I mean by that is we need a lifestyle change, and we need a leader to give us that lifestyle change and promote healthy living. If we're healthy, we're not going to the doctor. When I was a kid and grew up, it was President Kennedy's challenge program for health and physical fitness. And do you have any ideas like that within your group to maybe promote something like that, or the governor got any ideas about that? And I spent 8 days in Iceland, and I was astounded by the lifestyle of those people and how physically fit they were, how they promote physical education for both people in school and the private sector. They really promote healthy living, and I think it's, you know, we should get on offense. So do you have any comments to that?
Through the chair. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate the sports metaphor. Being an athlete most of my life. I agree. We have to be proactive on that. And with my public health background as well, that is on the preventative side. And so one of the things that we're going to work on is these innovative measures. Can we actually move forward, spend some money on the front end to save dollars on the back end? Well, we don't have specific projects targeted right now. This is an ongoing conversation that we're having as we get my full team set in place. But this, I agree, sir. This is that's a critical aspect of changing the path for the future.
Senator Begich.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, my last sort of question is rather broad. It's around the Medicaid issue, not echoing some of the comments of Senator Coghill, though not speaking for you, Senator Coghill, at all. One of my concerns when it comes to Medicaid funding and the way we approach it, we went through a very, very difficult process. You have an expert on your staff in Ms. Carpenter, I know, on the issue. There's the federally, we are now 7 million fewer people that are now covered by health insurance. That burden doesn't just go away. It falls on emergency rooms and hospitals. Some of our smallest hospitals here in Alaska suffered not only because they didn't get their Medicaid reimbursement in a timely manner, but will eventually, if we reduce Medicaid, will eventually have to deal with the expense in their private sector of those additional emergency services. So I'm asking you to keep that in mind, but then go to that comment and say, are you, A, considering moving towards a block grant waiver proposal, which is something that is coming out of the current presidential administration? And I have concerns about that. That's why I'm asking that question, number one. And number two, you mentioned the neediest citizens of the state of Alaska. Currently, we have a constitutional right here in the state of Alaska for all people to have access to abortion services, family planning services, and these kinds of things, which we do compensate through Medicaid for our neediest citizens. Are we going to continue doing that?
So the chair,
big question, little question.
The first question, as we evaluate, you mentioned waivers and block grants.
Yes.
We have ongoing negotiations right now for 1115 waiver, which is our ability to work with our federal partners to tailor an Alaska-specific solution. And this is something we're going to continue doing. We're going to try to make sure it's the best. We want to maintain that it's cost neutral or cost savings for the state as we do this, but also provide better service. And that's one of those we're going to work on that as well, sir. As far as
The lesser question, Mr. Chairman.
Do you mind repeating, sir?
Yeah. I was talking about, you had mentioned a concern with ensuring that you cover the neediest. You'd said that in your testimony. And so I want to focus then on a service for family planning, abortion services. These are constitutionally protected here in Alaska. And is it your intent to continue those services?
To the chair. Yes, sir. Yes, I will follow the law. And as it stands now, Alaska law and federal law maintains we have to do that.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bishop. Thank you. Just a couple of real brief, one question and a comment. And as you know, I'm interested in all of this, right? But I'm really focused, especially in light of what happened in Fairbanks last week, a little unfortunate accident. But the mental health assets in this state need to be improved. And you know that. I heard you speak about that, and I just want to you to assure me that you're going to commit to that, to follow through with that. And the second thing is, just remember one thing, I said this in the office, I believe, but for every action there's a reaction. And I would just caution you again to really do when you do your cost-benefit analysis and due diligence, that you really think about that and weigh that change.
Okay. Senator Kako?
Thank you. Did you want to?
I had a question.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
He's going to answer me.
I apologize. Right. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Myself and the governor, we are committed to working on the behavioral health situation in Alaska. Within the last 2 weeks, I was up in Fairbanks, and I got to be there at Fairbanks Memorial Hospital as we kind of dedicated the state partnering up with the hospital to expand the psychiatric beds in the emergency room. As we look at these issues, we're trying to find innovative solutions around the state so we can address this, which is one of the reasons I'm very excited about having Deputy Commissioner Wall on board as well, because he's got a background in this. And as we address this issue, we're going to work with our community partners. We've already had a lot of conversations with possible different funding sources as well to make sure we can leverage local as much as possible on this.
Just one quick one, and I'm done. I see you have several acting directors. Are they just placeholders while you're out recruiting, or what's the? Can you? You got any insight on that?
It has not been updated through the chair. I apologize, sir. Senator, public health director is now full time. The senior and disability services we are still working with. And behavioral health, we are actively recruiting for, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Cockhill, and then we'll open it up for public testimony.
Just a comment and a question. The comment is, though I think you're under court order to pay for abortions, That doesn't mean you can't educate people on alternatives. And I would encourage you to bring both of those to the table, because public health is what your charge is. And for us in the legislature, we've bristled at paying, which means it comes out of the administration's pocket. So, but there are other ways to communicate with people in that particular circumstance, so I would only encourage that. One of the areas that has plagued us for a lot of years that I'm going to just bring to your attention, and maybe you can comment on it, is our Office of Children's Services. We have not been able to keep people employed there. We have certainly not turned the corner on helping families. It seems like society dishes up. You get to deal with the worst of the circumstances that people find themselves in. And some of it is showing them the way out of the dysfunction that's quite often they find themselves in. Some of it, you end up with a civil law and a criminal law question simultaneously. But we really do need to find a way out of the quagmire that we've ended up in, and that is we're maintaining an unrepairable problem in many ways. That's whether we're putting employees into a situation where they just can't maintain, or families that feel like the government becomes their enemy rather than a good pointer. And we still have to hold them accountable. But there has to be movement other than just swatting down people. And sometimes we do really well. We have saved kids. You get high praise on that. But many times we intimidate families inappropriately. So it's just those balances we've had such a hard time finding. And we've tried to give money into places where we've done training. We've had new employees. But our turnover rate and our vacancy rate just remains unreasonably high for what we have coming at us. So I'm expressing the frustration. I know that you've probably looked down into it. Who do you have tasked to work in that arena? What can we expect from you as a new look, or maybe some new ideas in that world?
Through the chair. Senator, thank you very much for that question. Whenever you start talking about children, it's a very emotional issue. It's very sensitive. We all want to care and provide the best service for, whether that's protecting the children or protecting the children and the family. And it's this very delicate issue and this delicate balance that the staff at OCS have to manage. Natalie Norberg has moved into full-time status as director, and what we're working on are some creative solutions to deal with our vacancy rates. And so these are things that we're talking about internally. How can we actually encourage people to apply to take these roles? How can we keep their caseloads down and keep their morale up so we retain them over time? The other issue that we're very much working on is we're going to develop an internal communication bank, because no matter what, as you mentioned, these are families at a very low point. It's very emotional. And so we want them to see us as a resource, not as the person who's coming to take their kids away. We want to be seen as the ability to do that. So if there is a family in need or in crisis, find some mechanism for them to reach out and use us as a resource for some stabilitating fashion.
Just a comment on that.
Oh, yes.
So you get to see where we put requirements on you. And some of them are federally driven, but many of them are driven through our state statute and ripple down through your regulation. If you see places where it's inappropriately awkward or contrary to one statute to the other, we need to hear about it. So be aware that some of us are alert to, if you see where it just doesn't work, bring us the issue.
Absolutely. Thank you, Commissioner Crum. Please don't go anywhere yet. At this time, we're going to open up to public testimony. We'll first go to the room. I'm going to ask you to step aside, though, just so we'll allow folks to come to the table who may be here in Juneau to come testify. Please plan about 3 minutes to testify. We do have quite a few folks online. First signed up is Allison Curry. If you can remember to please state your name and affiliation for the record before you begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Allison Curry. I'm the legislative liaison with Planned Parenthood Votes here in Alaska and a Juneau resident, and I do appreciate the opportunity to testify today on the confirmation of Adam Crum for Commissioner of DHSS. As the nation's leading reproductive and sexual health care provider, Planned Parenthood does oppose the nomination of Mr. Crum to this position due to his lack of experience delivering health and social services. Instead of choosing somebody who understands health policy, Governor Dunleavy has simply nominated somebody whose ideology lines up with his own. During Mr. Crum's campaign for state senate in 2016, he ran on a platform of cutting access to government programs and restricting a woman's constitutional right to make decisions about her own body. Alaska needs somebody who will implement proven and effective strategies for improving public health and decreasing health disparities across communities. Our state, as you all know, has some of the highest rates of suicide, domestic violence, sexual assault, and sexually transmitted infections in the nation. We need a commissioner who has the experience necessary to tackle these challenges and advance bold solutions that will improve the health of all Alaskans across the state, especially historically marginalized communities who are more likely to lack access to health care, to critical health care, and social services. Anti-reproductive health and small government ideologies are not a good substitute for policy expertise and experience. Alaskans need a commissioner we can count on to promote healthy communities and families without limiting access to critical care. Mr. Crum, in our opinion, is not the best choice for this job, and I urge the committee to reject his nomination. I appreciate your consideration, and thank you again for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to the phones. Go to Anchorage, Cheryl Lovegreen.
Cheryl Lovegreen.
Yes, if you can state your name and affiliation and plan about 3 minutes for your testimony, you may begin when ready.
Thank you. My name is Cheryl Lovegreen, and I'm testifying as an individual. I live in Anchorage. I'm concerned about Mr. Adam Crum's nomination for two reasons, his lack of experience and his possible bias. Mr. Crum has no experience as a manager within the department or in leading a large department like this one. While I admire his willingness to take on the job, he doesn't have the best skill set for this appointment. As for bias, Mr. Crum said he is not a healthcare policy guy in the past. In response to his testimony today, the department has already become more efficient, and privatization is not something I support. I believe he's not the best candidate to lead the state's health care policy. Mr. Crum has also been endorsed by an anti-choice group in a recent campaign. I question how he will support the rights of women and teens who need comprehensive health care and health information, including family planning and abortion. Alaska has a public health crisis in opioid use, unintended teen pregnancies, mental health, and other issues. We need healthcare professionals who already know how to turn this around and not make these problems worse. We also need a commissioner who will look out for everyone's interests, not just those who support the governor's ideological base. For these reasons, I oppose the nomination of Mr. Crum. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next on the phone, we have Dr. Jay Butler from Anchorage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, members of the Senate Health and Social Services Committee. For the record, my name is Jay Butler, former Chief Medical Officer and, for a brief period of time in the prior administration, Commissioner of the Department of Health and Social Services. For a little context of what I'm about to say, I'll start by saying I first heard of Adam Crum when I was contacted by the incoming administration and informed that he'd be taking my job in 1 week. Within hours, I had my first discussion with Mr. Crum, and we met and spoke at least once daily over the next week. Over that week, I learned that he's a man of integrity and someone who deeply cares about the welfare of our state and its people. He understands organizational structure and function and population-based approaches to improving health. I observed that he's a fast learner and was eager to hit the ground running. On November 30th, the department had a sudden reordering of priorities as we activated the department's Emergency Operations Center to centralize the health and social service assessments and action plans in response to the earthquake. What I thought would be my last full weekday in the office turned into quite an ordeal. Over that final weekend when I was commissioner, Mr. Crum joined our calls in the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center, with healthcare facilities around South Central Alaska. On the day when he first became commissioner, I was with him as he faced two internal emergencies, which he did with a cool head. I had the privilege to work with Commissioner Crum as the acting chief medical officer during the first 5 weeks of the new administration to assist with the department's earthquake response and to help with the transition. While I had already decided before the election not to continue with the state, I can say that I would welcome the opportunity to work with Commissioner Crum. He has the fire in the belly, the love in his heart, and the smarts in his head to be a good commissioner. I believe that at this time in our state's history, he's the right person for the job. I urge you to confirm his nomination and appointment as Commissioner of Health and Social Services. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Butler, and thank you for your service for the state. Next in Anchorage, we have Jerry Alderman. Jerry, if you can state your name and affiliation for the record and plan for 3 minutes for your testimony.
Hi, thank you. I'm Jerry Alderman. I live in Anchorage, House District 24, Senate District L. I'm opposed to Mr. Crum becoming the commissioner. He has a very impressive resume. He speaks intelligently. He's just an intelligent, sharp guy. But he doesn't have a background for this job. He's never worked in health care or social services. And I don't think he's managed a government agency. And having worked in both public and private sector, I can tell you they are two different things. Not taking away from his background too much, but with no experience in health or social services and no experience working in government, that seems like kind of a weak start. And I, like a lot of other people, and I know it's repetitious, but he's not a very experienced guy in this area. I don't like when politicians, particularly males, start talking about what my daughter can and can't do with her own body. We really, as a country, have got to just quit telling women what to do with this, okay? So for those reasons, I'm opposed to his nomination. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Next in Anchorage, we have Zena Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Zena Peterson. I live in Senate District I, and I'm representing myself. Today, I'm testifying against the nomination of Adam Crum to the position as Commissioner of Department of Health and Social Services. I want to echo what a lot of other people have said. I don't believe that Mr. Crum has the knowledge and experience needed to run something as big as the Department of Health and Social Services. Although Mr. Crum has experience in running a business in Alaska, he has never worked in a health-related field, nor does he have a background in working with public policy. This is concerning, since the primary focus of his job would be to oversee the numerous health departments. It should also be a concern to the committee, as well as to the Department of Health and Social Services, when looking at Mr. Crum's statements on the size of our government and talks about reducing government budget. I worry that his initiatives would put people out of jobs and cut funding to health care services that many Alaskans rely on. Additionally, I have concerns about Mr. Crum's ties to Alaska Right to Life Group and his past statements on women receiving basic health care services. As a woman living in Alaska, I worry about my constitutional and health rights being taken away from me because of somebody else's agenda and priorities. I would like to thank the committee for letting me testify and encourage all of you to oppose the nomination of Adam Crum. Thank you.
Thank you. Next in Anchorage, we have Robin Smith.
Thank you for allowing me to testify. My name is Robin Smith. I live in Anchorage, and I'm representing myself. I oppose the confirmation of Adam Crum. I'm sure this gentleman is a fine human being. However, he remains unqualified for the position of Commissioner of Health and Social Services, which is one of the most difficult management jobs in the state. When running for the legislature in 2016, he described himself as a business owner, truck driver, and carpenter. He did not mention his skills as a manager or a healthcare policy expert. In his resume, he stated he managed 75 people and handled multi-million-dollar contracts. That is a far cry from heading a department of over 3,000 people and handling a budget of $3.2 billion. His degree from Johns Hopkins School of Public Health is in occupation and environmental hygiene. A degree, and this is according to Johns Hopkins' website, will prepare students to create healthier communities and workplace, create and promote sustainable development, develop emergency response and disaster planning, and much more. Organizations such as the EPA and Occupational Safety and Health Administration are key resources for potential jobs, but it does not mention the medical field. He has never worked in the medical arena. I dare say the closest he has come to dealing with medical issues is his taking care of his own health care and dealing with the health insurance policy for his training company. It was established in, it has been established that Alaska has the most expensive care in America, which makes it the most expensive in the world. No one has been able to successfully reduce the cost in Alaska. It is an extremely complex issue, and that should be addressed by the smartest and most qualified person available. I would go so far as to say that Governor Dunleavy should have had a nationwide search for the appropriate person. I'm deeply disturbed at this nomination because I feel that it shows a lack of respect for real healthcare professionals. And additionally, Crum is not someone I wouldn't trust to implement policies for women and families. And this is primarily because he has identified himself as pro-life. And we have a right to privacy here in the state of Alaska, which has been reinforced by our Supreme Court. And I fear that he will work against women in this position. So bottom line is this man is not qualified. He may be a very nice man, but we need a professional, someone with lots of experience to be in this position. Thank you so much for hearing my thoughts.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Next in Anchorage, we have Janet Cullen. Janet, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record and plan about 3 minutes for your testimony.
Hi. For the record, my name is Janet Cullen. I live in Anchorage, and I'm representing myself. Today, I'm testifying against Department of Health and Social Services appointee nominee Adam Crum. During Adam Crum's campaign for state senate 2 years ago, he proudly advertised that he was against a woman's right to make decisions about her body. As a nurse with 20 years of public health experience, Mr. Crum's position on women's right to choose and make decisions about their body gravely concerns me. I've observed firsthand women struggling to obtain access to health care, trying to get money to come in from the villages and obtain health care in Anchorage. I've seen increased sexually transmitted diseases among young teens, and as a sexual assault nurse, I've seen increased sexual violence against women. We need an unbiased commissioner that cares about the health of all women of the state of Alaska. I would like to thank the Senate and Health and Social Services Committee for letting me testify, and I strongly disagree with nominee Adam Crum. I encourage all of you to reject the nomination. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to the Wasilla, Elizabeth Ripley, if you can state your name and affiliation for the record.
Good afternoon. This is Elizabeth Ripley, and I serve as CEO of the Madison Health Foundation. Senator Wilson, members of the committee, I'm here to support the nomination of Adam Crum as Commissioner of the Department of Health and Social Services. I met Adam at the Matsu Business Alliance, where he and his business, Northern Industrial Training, have won multiple awards for growing their business and helping the Matsu economy. I've seen Adam at my house, a local nonprofit that is addressing youth homelessness. He has been an active donor and supporter at the level where he can see the complexity of health and social issues like homelessness. He has a heart for this work, which I think is important. Yes, it's managing an enormous budget and highly regulated industries, but it's also about people, about Alaskans who we want to help thrive. Adam has a master's in public health, and many of the challenges DHSS faces can be improved by maximizing the public health model on both the prevention and intervention side of things. I've been able to meet with Adam twice in regard to his purview as commissioner. He's expressed that he wants to help the divisions and departments in DHSS be more strategic and efficient and effective at meeting their top goals and objectives. We spoke specifically about getting more value for the healthcare dollars the state is spending and the people of Alaska are spending. We need someone at the helm of DHSS who can make this happen, someone who has the business acumen, the finance and budgetary skills, the Lean Six Sigma organizational management knowledge, the workforce development expertise, and the communication and emotional intelligence to pull this off. Adam has those skills and experiences. I recommend him, and I look forward to partnering with him to deliver more value for our health and social services dollars to Alaskans. Thanks for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Ms. Ripley. Next, we have Michelle Overstreet.
Hi. Thank you, committee, for allowing me to testify. For the record, my name is Michelle Overstreet. I'm the executive director and founder of a nonprofit that serves homeless youth in the Mat-Su Valley, and I support the appointment, along with Dr. Jay Butler and Elizabeth Ripley, of Adam Crum to Health and Social Services Commissioner. Adam has been an advisor to my house for the past 8 years. He has supported a public health office in our building that specializes in reproductive health. He has supported our goals to provide reproductive health services for homeless youth in any and all capacities. I've never known him to oppose any kind of services for the youth that we serve. And I think there's a lot of presumption around what his actions will be as commissioner without having on-the-ground evidence. And I'm telling you that we have on-the-ground experience with Adam, and he is a man of integrity with a huge heart and a passionate desire to make Alaska better. Adam is a smart businessman. He's savvy at the helm of an award-winning business, has been a top 40 under 40 winner for the state of Alaska. And he is an expert on budgets and fiscal management. And I know that because he's helped us and given me advice on directing the nonprofit as a support person and an advisory board member. Adam has specifically supported the hand up strategies for homeless youth that we utilize to empower youth. And in a recent conversation, he was helping to strategize for a young woman in our building who was employed by us, whose increasing compensation disqualified her from Medicaid services. And she had a child to support, so that was very undesirable. And Adam really demonstrated a lot of not just compassion, but knowledge and thinking, creative thinking about how to utilize the Medicaid expansion with a step-down system for people that are in the situation that our client was. I think that to not appoint Adam Crum to this position would be a real shame and a detriment to the state of Alaska. He's the real deal. And thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Ms. Overstreet, we have a clarifying question. Are you available to take a question?
I am.
All right, Senator Begich.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle, for that testimony. I just had a clarifying question on that. When you mentioned the reproductive health clinic, were there any limits on the services in that clinic that were provided?
Well, the on-site services, there are, but we're partnered with our public health nurse and the office that is our local provider. And in terms of that, they are able to coordinate everything from educational sessions, which they provide on site for us, two abortion services, which are provided at a separate location but can be coordinated through that office.
I appreciate your clarification. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for asking, Tom. Senator Begich.
All right. Seeing no one else online to testify, is there anyone else in the room in Juneau that wishes to testify? Seeing none and hearing none, I'll close public testimony. This time we'd like to ask Mr. Crum to come back to the table and just for committee members just to wrap up, give you the opportunity for a closing statement and just for any other additional last-minute questions from commission, from senators. I'll start off with a question so before you begin your testimony, just to make sure that you can address sort of the qualifications, needs. Obviously, that was a theme that we heard for the testimony. If you just want to address on that. And yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I don't come from a health policy background, but I don't believe that is what the department needs right now. The department needs somebody who can look long-term strategy, understand what we're going to do, because we do have difficult times ahead. But we need somebody at the helm who can take care of it. And I have put together a fantastic team to guide me through this process. We have the employees together that we can actually navigate this to make the benefit for all Alaskans. Okay.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The homeless youth issue that came up, I really know nothing about that, but you certainly have been working with that. The discussion was from Ms. Overstreet was about hand-up strategy, I think. Is that your responsibility as commissioner? Will you be dealing with that? And could you sort of enlighten us a little bit about the homeless strategy?
Through the commissioner. Through the chairman, Senator. The Matsui borough has, for whatever reason, coalesced a lot of the homeless youth throughout Alaska. And so we have this where we'll have massive homeless tent cities, things like that. So we wanted to find a community-based effort and a solution, so how we can actually give them the resources they need, whether that's through drug substance abuse on their own or for their families, or couch surfing, things like this. We want to make sure these kids have resources. When she mentioned, she says it's a hand up, not a handout. The idea behind that is that they understand that they have to want to work towards this process. We want them to understand that. They can come in, they can get a hot meal, hot shower, but then, all right, here's a broom, sweep the floor, and then here's your next meal. Take these classes and we can do this and we'll provide these resources on that. And that's the model that we're talking about. As commissioner, no, that is not in my purview to do that. But it's one of those, we want to make sure all Alaskans have these opportunities to move ahead. And I think that's one of the critical aspects that we're going to work administration-wide to make sure.
Thank you, Mr. Grant.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of comments. First off, I have the utmost respect for Dr. Jay Butler. And I appreciated his comments, and it's a little unknown fact here is to people, the public, but Dr. Butler brought it out, and maybe some lawmakers, that you are part of the state's emergency response team, and you've already proved that in short order, and it doesn't surprise me that you were able to make those decisions, because having knowledge and background in a lot of the same areas that you do, especially in occupational safety and health, you're very familiar with emergency response and how to execute emergency response. I know that's part of your 40-hour HAZWOPR training, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a good thing. So you've already proved that you're an asset in that area. Not everybody has strengths and weaknesses from top to bottom in any agency. Last thing I'd just like to ask is to comment is you said that you would adhere to the law and you'd implement the law as the Supreme Court and the state Supreme Court has laid it out. So that's good for me. The last thing is you do have your team around you, and I'd like you just to answer this. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but my philosophy is, in my team, if we're all thinking the same thing, then somebody's not thinking. And I just want to know what's your management style in that respect.
Through the chair. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate that. When we sit down and go together, we actually will have people will volunteer and play the devil's advocate directly on that so we can address this issue. We try to diversify our thought throughout this process, and having a very strong team in place, we have strong personalities, and these individuals have thoughts they're bringing to the table as well. And so we're making sure that we are putting out the most solutions and the best solutions as we work towards that process. So that's my management style on that. We will work on this together. We will address this, and we will try to actually identify what are the either mitigating or unmitigating circumstances across that that may take away from it. Thank you.
Senator Baggage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't want to go last. I think the majority should have that. But I just, based on the testimony that we just heard from a number of folks, are you confident that you can put your political ideology aside and focus your department's goals really on the best scientific evidence that's available?
Through the chair.
Softball question.
Absolutely, sir. I have... It's going to sound boastful, but I have a very good degree from one of the best schools in the world that is science-based. So this is my background. This is what I've been able to do. And the department is so diverse and so broad. It has so many issues we have to cover. But, yes, I believe I can do this job, sir.
Thank you very much for that response.
Senator Carter.
Thank you. And it sounded like some of the testimony today was really evolved around reproductive rights and abortion. That's really the legislature's job to answer that question. I think you answered it very well. So thank you for that. And I've seen enough commissioners come and go who had bias one way or the other. And so I don't think that that's a big issue if you're going to follow the law. So to me, I appreciate that. But what you do get to do is in the public health world, you get to watch out for disease management. You get to watch out for those things which create the hunger for the bad things, whether it's drugs or alcohol, because those two are kicking the feet out from under us in so many ways. So in the public health world, you actually get to see them firsthand and do a megaphone. So a lot of the questions today revolved around really your public health responsibility. Is there anything that you wanted to share with us that you see that could be done better, a little shorter vision? Because it really... even Jay Butler brought it up, it whether it's emergency management, you're really talking about the public well-being at health. And I think on the offense, what the other senator said, if you haven't thought about it, many of us would encourage you to think about it.
Through the chair. Social determinants is this buzzword that's been kicked around a lot lately. And this is an issue that we take very seriously. And I do believe the public health side on the preventative measure is one of the key aspects, addressing these behavioral health issues, which have now risen to the forefront. It's much more visible now than it has been in years past, and so we're willing to address this, everybody across the board. And these are things that we are going to work on, and we're going to address to do the more proactive approach as opposed to the reactive dollars on the backside. And we're going to work across departments as well. We're going to work on this to help. What can we do to provide opportunities and possible wraparound services so individuals can avoid taking that next step into the bad things, as you said?
Thank you. Any further questions from committee members? Seeing or hearing none. Thank you, Mr. Kerman. Any last feeding words that you'd like to depart with us?
I truly appreciate this opportunity. I'm an Alaskan first and foremost. My dad was born in the territory of Alaska. I was born at Homer Hospital myself. I love this state. My family is all here. I want to stay in the state, which is why I wanted to take this role. I believe I can help. We can bring this department forward. We can bring our state forward, make these corrective actions that necessary, but still taking care of those who need it. So thank you, senators, for the opportunity to be here. I appreciate it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Crum. We'll now read our wonderful report into record. In accordance with AS 39.05.080, the Health and Social Services Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointment to be forward in joint consideration. This does not reflect the intent of any committee members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individual that we heard during this session. At this time, we'll take a brief at ease to sign the document.
That's what it is.
thus concludes our business for the day. I just want to say thanks for everyone who came out to testify and called and waited on the phone to testify today. Our meeting for Friday is thus canceled, and we will have no committee meetings next week as we're still waiting for to get some of the further legislation. I just want to just close with, you know, the past couple of years in the legislature, I've been so optimistic. This upcoming legislature, for the positivity of the folks in the administration, other lawmakers coming into session, and just can't wait to get people's works done. So with that, we'll adjourn at 2:41 p.m.